This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think our gospel reading this morning highlights this imaginary doctrine that we try so hard to live by, the doctrine of fairness. It's a nice idea until we try to define it, until we try to live by it. As a parent of two boys, I've struggled with balancing this doctrine of fairness. Where does it begin? Where does it end? I know as parents, we all want to be fair to our children, but fairness is something that's quite elusive. We're called into every conceivable situation to be judge and jury, from being called upon to decide who called shotgun first to get in the front seat of the car, or who got more than the other. Who started the fight? And more importantly, how are we going to end it fairly? How many times have we heard those words, "That's not fair"? That's not fair. It's the thing that always comes back to us. Who doesn't want to be fair? But the more we try to live by this fairness doctrine, the more we're challenged by the whole idea. In many ways, the idea itself sets up this expectation that is so unrealistic, and it breeds this idea of envy. It breeds the whole sin of envy. Someone said recently that we all have to pay our fair share. I think we can all agree that that is a fair thing to do. But what is fair? Who is fair? Can we be absolutely fair? I don't think so. And that's the problem. Fairness is in the eye of the beholder. It's completely subjective. And in the end, it's our love that has to rule. We can try all day to be long, to be fair, but fairness is perceived. I think we do our children a disservice if we don't prepare them for a world that is not fair. Sooner or later, I think all of us come to realize that life itself is not fair. And here we see in this parable this morning, surprisingly, that God is not fair either, at least by our own standards and the standards of our world. Life is not fair because we get less than what we deserve. There are no guarantees. There are no promises. There are no entitlements. And God is not fair because we get more than what we deserve. That's right. We get more than what we deserve. When we enter into this saving relationship with Jesus Christ and we accept his free handout of grace, we all get more than what we deserve. And that's not fair. That's grace. That's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we have any claim upon at all. It's a gift. And we all receive it equally. If we apply our standards of fairness toward God, we limit what God is able to do in our own lives and in the lives of others around us. Every conversation that I have in a Bible study situation always seems to lead to this question of who is being saved, who is going to be saved, who is in and who is out. And it's a dangerous place for us to go because God is going to save whom God is going to save. I think that we have to be very, very careful that we who stand in need of God's grace don't choose to put God in a box where we limit his grace toward others. We don't want to become like the self-righteous older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, who stands there in envy that his younger brother has received God's generous grace. We mustn't be envious because God is generous. Jonah, another biblical character, was furious with God for forgiving those low-life Ninevites who deserved death. How dare God forgive them? But Jonah knew in his heart of hearts the character of God, and he knew that God would forgive them because he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You see, God is going to extend his grace and love to all who come to him. Like we just heard in the Exodus passage, his manna that flows over the people feeds everyone equally. Yet this sin of envy is such an everyday present temptation to all of us. It's one of the seven deadly sins, because it steals the grace of God from our lives. It takes what God has given us. It removes our hearts from God and it puts them on idols. It speaks lies to us and says that you deserve more, that you're not getting your fair share. When we allow other people to define who we are and what we deserve, we begin to live as victims of this world. And if we choose to live as victims, we'll never be able to celebrate the uniqueness for which God created us and the blessedness that we've all received from Him. But when we claim that unique identity that God has given us, we become free to live with joy and thanksgiving. Envy is a deadly, deadly sin. Its temptation is always before us in a material world that changes as rapidly as our world changes. As we look at what others have, there's always the latest and the greatest out there. There's always this desire that we've got to get that, or we've got to have that, or we deserve it. This new iPhone, they come out with a new phone every year, and it just breeds this whole idea that we have to have the next thing. Or maybe it's that boat that we've been yearning for so long and we're fixated by and consumed with. Maybe it's that look or that dress or whatever it is that begins to consume our desire, makes us feel like we deserve. Envy makes what we have no longer good enough. It's a vicious cycle that we get ourselves in. We look at people as if they have it all together and figured out. Boy, aren't they fortunate. If we only had what they had, our lives would be better. But that's what the lie of envy speaks. The grass is always greener on the other side. But none of us are willing to walk a mile in another person's boots unless we know what their life is really like. All of us have challenges. All of us have difficulties in our lives. And nobody truly knows what each of us is going through. I think it's in God's infinite wisdom that He made siblings as different as they are, because it forces us to try to figure out how to love our children for who they are and to meet them in their own particular place of need. That's not fair. That's love. Love is not restricted by the doctrine of fairness. God's love is the same for all of us, no matter how or when we come to the table. And it's His love and mercy that makes us whole. That's not anything that we can earn or deserve. It can only be enjoyed in thanksgiving for who we are and for what He has given us. And so the only thing that can steal that is our own envy. So I invite each of you to keep your eyes on Jesus rather than your neighbor. Rejoice in what He has given you. And come to know that your cup is really overflowing with more than you can realize or imagine. No matter how many challenges that life throws at you, God has blessed you with such an abundance that you can never fully enjoy all that He's given you. And so give thanks for all that you've received. Amen.